the guy that thinks he's fly and is also known as a buster. Always talking about what he wants and just sits on his broke ass.
Welcome back, high school hockey fans, for a special edition of This Week in Wisconsin Prep Hockey, previewing the girls' high school state tournament. I'm Mike Hammett. Along with me is Dell Scanlon and Bill Berg and Bill Berg Jr. We are going to give you the lowdown on our top tens as we're getting late in the season. Our top ten will be a little bit of shuffling, but Junior, what do you got?
Oh, that's right. We're discussing the top tens, aren't we? Because we skipped it yesterday. For the boys, surprising nobody, Eau Claire Memorial is still number one. Appleton United is second, and Hudson is third. Anago is fourth. Onalaska jumps up to fifth. Madison Edgewood jumps to sixth. Waukesha seventh, and University School eighth. Wausau West drops down to ninth, and Nina Menasha Hortonville is tenth. Honorable mention for the boys are Middleton, New Richmond, Spash, Waupun, and Wisconsin Rapids. For the girls, Central Wisconsin Storm is still number one. Hayward is 2, University School is 3, St. Croix Valley is 4, Hudson is 5, Bay Area is 6, Fond du Lac is 7, Eau Claire Altoona is 8th, Rock County jumps into the top 10 at number 9, and Fox Cities is 10th. Honorable mention for the girls are the Lakeshore Lightning, the Metro Lynx, and the Northland Pines. Now, MJ, quick bit of trivia.
Yes.
Meant to talk about it last night, but it completely slipped my mind. The WIAA records online only go back to the year 2000, but since then, a Wisconsin Valley Conference team has made the boys' state tournament every year until this year. Every That's one of those good. Years, it was either Wausau West, Stevens Point, or Spash, and in a couple cases, two of those teams. But every year from 2000 through 2015, a Wisconsin Valley Conference team made it down to Madison, and this year none of them did.
Now,
did you throw in Wisconsin Rapids?
I did.
Okay. And 1 year Anago was in there, 2005 also.
Yep.
I was just going to say
they were
that.
Still in the Valley at that time.
I believe Point was still in the other sectional at that point, and they were in that year, or Rapids. One of the two was in. But yeah, there was a Valley team every year going back as far as the WIAA has their records online until this year. So take that, Valley. Go Great Northern.
Have a take, don't suck, Junior.
Yeah.
And you know, you think about it, 1999, the Valley had two teams in the state tournament. They had Spash and Wausau West in the state tournament. Just doing that off the top of my head.
Well, I couldn't say for certain for 98, but 97, there was also Antigo and Spash.
98 Spash was there.
98 they won it.
Spash?
No,
Madison Memorial won it 98.
Yeah, 97, Anago and Spash were both there because Anago beat Spash in the semifinals.
Which was great.
I remember it well.
It was satisfying.
It was like eating a Snickers bar.
It was.
Better? Better, better.
Hey, is it just a coincidence that in the boys' top 10, 1 through 8 are all in the state tournament?
No.
Well.
Are you saying it's rigged?
I think it's rigged. I will say, of the Wisconsin prep hockey voters, I'm not going to speak for the coaches, but of the Wisconsin prep hockey voters, I believe I'm the only one that rated non-tournament teams ahead of tournament teams.
Were all of your tournament teams in the top 10?
Yes.
Okay. And were the other non-tournament teams Wausau West and Nina Hortonville Menasha?
Yes.
Okay.
I had them up a couple spots from their final ranking. But, you know, the tournament teams usually make the top 10. And, you know, there are years when we feel kind of bad about that. Like, is this team really one of the 10 best teams in the state? I don't think we have any qualms about it this year. You know, like
even section four.
Yep. You know, we discussed, you know, yesterday, this is probably the deepest the state tournament has been in a long time. And every one of those 8 teams has a legitimate shot of winning it this year.
And MJ.
Yes.
You know what they do over in Minnesota, don't you?
They seed the tournament.
Who does?
Minnesota.
Who? No, who seeds it?
I don't know. Who does seed it?
The eight coaches that are in the tournament vote, and they seed the top five. Then the bottom three are just drawn out of a hat as unseeded teams. But four plays five, and then one, two, and three play one of the unseeded teams.
Okay.
So chew on that for a while. You and your seeding the tournament thing. The coaches that are actually in the tournament are the ones that do the seeding.
What a concept.
What a concept. What a country.
You know, when you look at the four games for the boys on Thursday, I mean, you figure ECM would be the number one top seed. But where would they fall from there? It would be very interesting.
I mean, I tried. I've done this exercise each of the last couple of years of seeding the eight teams in the tournament. This year was a lot harder, and I couldn't do it. I broke every group into two groupings where I think it could go either way. One and two would be either Eau Claire or Appleton, and I think you could put them in either order without getting really much argument. Three and four, I think, would be Hudson and Anago. Five and six would be Onalaska and Edgewood, and seven and eight would be Waukesha and University School. I think any of those two pairings you could put in either order if you wanted to seed the tournament. But we don't have a seeded tournament, and tonight we're here to talk about the girls' tournament.
So yes, so without further ado,
let's seed the girls' tournament.
They already
you did. Know... Well, one, two, three, you've got right. I mean, you've got USM, Central Wisconsin Storm, and Hayward Spooner. I believe those are the top three. Am I correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, then what is Rock County doing there?
They are right.
And the thing is you know, if you look at Hayward, Central Wisconsin, and USM, I think each one of those teams actually could put up an argument why they think they should be number one. And so, you know, I think while it's not a seeded tournament on the girls' side, I think even if you were seeding them, you know, this wouldn't be a bad seed set up on it.
I agree with you, Del. Looking at this, yeah, I would agree. So, with that being said, let's talk about that girls' tournament. Our girls section 1 and 3. In section 2, Hayward beat Hudson 2-1, and St. Croix Valley beat Eau Claire Altoona 4-0 to set up Hayward taking on the St. Croix Valley Fusion. And Junior, give us a rundown on that.
Well, depending on where you tuned into this game, it was being broadcast on WRLS in Hayward. You got a couple different feelings about how it was going. After two periods, Hayward actually had a 3-0 lead on the Fusion, and you could have thought they were really taking it to them, but that's just a surface glance. That's not really how the game played out. First period, the teams were tied at 11 shots apiece, but Rion Martin managed to sneak one through for Hayward to give them the 1-0 lead after one. And in the second period, the Fusion actually outshot Hayward 12-9, and they controlled the pace of the game in that period a little bit. But Alex Grubbs, defenseman for Hayward, picked up two goals in that period. So after two, they were up 3-0. To the Fusion's credit, knowing they were playing one of the very top teams in the state, and being one of the top teams in the state themselves, they did not give up. And just, you know, 3 minutes and 48 seconds into that third period, Hannah Zevenbergen, one of our Player of the Year finalists for the girls, picked up a goal to get them on the board. And just 2 minutes later, on a power play, Andrea Eliason picked up a goal with assists from Zevenbergen and Maddie Rowe, who will be a Badger next year, to bring them back within one goal and really made a game of it. And in that third period, the shot disparity got even wider with the Fusion out shooting Hayward 13-5. But just two and a half minutes later, Alex Grubbs added her third goal of the game to make it a hat trick, to make it 4-2 for Hayward. And while they tried valiantly and worked very hard those last 5 minutes of the game, the Fusion could only manage one more goal. Anna Albrightson scored with about 4.5 minutes left from Cameron Jacobs and another assist from Maddie Rowe to bring them within one, but they couldn't crack goaltender Lauren Tremblay again after that, and it ended up 4-3. It was a really well-played game, and that's what you'd expect from the number two and number four teams in the state. It was as good as any state tournament game we've had in recent years. It was a good game. Hayward, despite the fact that I think St. Croix is the superior offensive team, Hayward managed to stop the rebounds, keep most of their shots, you know, that one shot and done. And, you know, any good goalie in the state should be able to stop that first shot. And if you got a good defense in front of you that can control the rebounds, you should have success. And that's what Hayward was able to do. And they capitalized on the chances they had, even though they ended up being, you know, far fewer than what the Fusion had in that game.
Yeah, Junior, Lauren Tremblay, she is one of our finalists for the Jesse Vetter Award this year. And I believe it was 2 years ago that Hayward broke through and they won their state title. And she was a freshman that year. So, I mean, it's been one of those things. It actually might have been 3 years ago, the year before she was there that she got the state title. I think 2 years ago was Bay Area and last year was USM. But it's, you know, they're a very solid team. And when these two teams met earlier in the season, Coach Cranston said, you know, they had the lead on them. And Hayward battled back and ended up winning that game 3-2. But the Fusion were up 2-0 in that game and gave up three goals to end up losing at 3-2. And Coach Cranston said at the time, he says, you know, we just didn't seal the deal. And it was a good game. And I expected this one to be good. And it sounds like that you weren't disappointed listening to it.
No, it was a great game. The Hayward Hurricanes did a good job of not controlling, but limiting the opportunities for Maddie Rowe. And we saw them do that when they won their state title against Onalaska, limiting Teresa Knutson and Jason Reeves. And they've got that strategy down. They know who the top forward is on the other team, and they're going to do their best to shut that person down. And that's a strategy we've seen a lot of teams apply against USM this year, trying to tackle Nicole Unsworth. Teams that try to tackle the Central Wisconsin Storm aren't going to have much luck, because their top line is probably the best first line we've seen in WIAA girls hockey ever. Final game of the high school career of Maddie Rowe. Everybody was very excited earlier in the year when she signed her offer letter for University of Wisconsin to go play for the Badgers. I don't think people fully grasp how big that is for a high school player in Wisconsin. We've got, you know, Wisconsin WIAA girls hockey players playing in the NCAA. Teresa Knutson is a sophomore at UConn this year. She's their leading scorer. Jason Reeves is a freshman. I forget which school she's here at. Union?
Jimmy Johns.
Yep, Jimmy Johns University. I believe she's their second leading scorer, at least she was last time I checked. But, and, you know, they're doing really well, and we've got some other girls doing really well. But if you look at the top 10 schools in women's college hockey right now, there are only 8 or 9 Wisconsin-born players across their entire rosters of those 10 teams, and none of them played WIAA hockey. They played at Shattuck. They played at Culver Academy. They played for various AAA teams. Maddie Rowe is going to one of the three best college hockey teams in the country out of high school. And I don't think...
Oh, wait. Doesn't she have to go play juniors first?
No, girls don't
have. A year
or
two of juniors?
No, girls don't have junior hockey.
Lucky them.
Yeah. Lucky them. So I don't think people understand. I mean, everybody was very excited for her, rightly so, when they did that and we posted the news about it. But I don't think they understand just how big that is. Because, like I said, there's zero WIAA players on those top 10 schools in college hockey right now.
You know, we don't see, and we don't have anybody up in Northwest Wisconsin. I mean, the closest we have to that is me here in Antigo, and that's really more Northeast than Northwest. So we don't get a whole lot of opportunities to see Hayward. I only see them when they're at the state tournament. I guess they were playing in a tournament in Eagle River, but that was in early December where I was tied up somewhere else. But every time we've seen them, they have always been a solid defensive team. They won their state tournament by shutting down Onalaska with Knutson and Reeves, the two players you just got done mentioning. They've always been a very solid defensive team, and it sounds like that's what they are again this year.
All right, guys. With that being said, girls section 3 had the Lynx and Rock County. To get there, the Lynx beat Black River Falls 8-1, and the Rock County Fury had to beat Onalaska in overtime at Onalaska 3-2, setting up the Section 3 final. It was Rock County taking on the Metro Lynx at Madison Ice Arena. Dell Scanlon, you were there.
Thanks, MJ. This was the third meeting between the Fury and the Lynx this season, since they're both in the Badger Conference. The Lynx actually won both those games by a final score of 2-1, and one of them was an overtime game. And this game started out tight right from the beginning, a very physical game. The referees were letting them, make contact and knock each other down on the ice and letting it play out. And it was going late into the first period before the Fury actually got on the board at about 15:54 of the first period. And Danielle Heitzman scored the goal with an assist from Maggie Henschler. And you're going to hear Maggie Henschler's name a few different times in this game. She had a heck of a game going on. But you just thought, okay, you gave up a goal with a minute 6 left. You're going to get out of this period down 1-0. But the Fury weren't done and put an unassisted goal in when Henschler scored again with 31 seconds remaining in the first period to take a 2-0 lead at the end of one. The ironic thing about that was Molly Gross had finished the period with 4 saves and Sydney McCursey had 3 saves. So a total of 7 saves between the two goalies in the period and a 2-0 lead for the Fury. The Lynx did cut it in half in the second period on a goal by Julia Dragoo at 5:57 with an assist from Kara Epping. But this period, the Lynx really put the pressure on Gross as she collected 10 saves, and McCursey only had 4 saves in that period. So at this point, you got Gross making 14 saves compared to 7 from McCursey. And then you went to the third period. Rock County took advantage of a 5-on-3 power play and went up 3-1. The bad thing about that power play is you were down to about 40-some seconds left on a penalty for the Lynx, and they got called for the second penalty in a row for too many men on the ice. Player just come out of the puck had come loose in front of the Lynx bench, and player come out, picked it up, and started playing the puck right away before the other player got onto the bench. And all of a sudden they're, down 5-on-3. But like I said, Rock County took advantage of it, went up 3-1. Dragoog scored late in the game for the Lynx, but after that, nobody was able to score. Gross picked up 15 saves in the third period for a total of 29, and McCursey had 3 saves in the third period. So while the Lynx were able to put up the pressure offensively, Gross and the Fury were up to the task and held on to a 3-2 win to go to the Alliant Energy Center for their first trip to state. I also got to talk to Coach Soddy after the game, and he said, the first half of the season, this was a thing where the coaches were learning the players and the players were learning the coaches, and they're a blue-collar team. This whole team will go grind it out in the corner. They're a very physical team. And it's going to be interesting to see them down the state.
When I look at their record, Dell, I see that they don't play the toughest schedule as like USM, Hayward, Spooner, and Central Wisconsin Storm. But in a lot of these games, they were right there. And, they finished their season with like a 13-10-1 record, but there's a lot of games that could have went either way when you're looking at them. And knowing Dave Soddy and talking to him as often as I did, they were right there in a lot of games. Sometimes they got away, but this is going to be so far their biggest challenge of the year. It's going to be at State. Not a big offensive team, but you know they are workmanlike. They grind it out, and it should be interesting because this is the big show. And talking to some of the coaches down here, they've had this team for like about 7-8 years. And the coaches in the lower level have been working with these kids, and all of a sudden they're getting up into varsity, and now they're making State. Some of the coaches who really put in a lot of time and effort with these girls are finally getting to reap some of the benefits of seeing their girls making the State tournament.
Well, and the other thing is if you look at their roster, I think I counted like 11, 12 freshmen and 5 sophomores. I mean, it's a very young roster when you look over it.
Yes, it is. It is a very, very young roster. Next year, they're going to have to replace Molly Gross and Alex Richards right off the top of my head, those two. But, I mean, you look at it, those, they got a lot of young kids on this team. And, you know, most of their talent, the coaches believe, is in the sophomore and junior class on this team. So, yes, a young team. See how they go against an experienced Hayward Spooner co-op.
And with that, I'm going to say that I actually look for Hayward's experience and their tough defense to play out in this game for the girls' semifinal first game, and Hayward coming out on top with a win.
Junior?
Well, I think you're underselling Rock County's schedule a bit. They played the Bay Area Ice Bears, a top six team. They lost 3-1. They played Fond du Lac, a top six team, twice. They lost 4-2 the first time and won 5-2 the second time. And they played the Central Wisconsin Storm. They lost that game 4-0, but there is no harm in holding the Central Wisconsin Storm to 4 goals with that first line of Rantham, Bauer, and Bauer. I think this draw is actually very good for Rock County. While Hayward is a very good, very deep team, and their first line of Curtis, Heidenreich, and Kinney is very, very good, it's not Bauer, Bauer, and Rantham, and they don't have Nicole Unsworth. They have a very good, very deep team, but they don't have that elite offensive punch that the other two teams down at State have. They're a defense-first team. So I think that's the best possible draw of the four teams down there that Rock County could get. And I think that plays into their favor because they're a very strong defensive team. Molly Gross has been a fantastic goalie this season. All that said, I still think Hayward is going to win because, you know, they've been one of the top three teams in the state all year, and I think it would be silly to bet against them at this point, but I think that this is a good draw for Rock County. The game could get away from them if they take a couple silly penalties, if they make a couple defensive lapses, but I think they can skate with Hayward, and I think they can make a game of it.
You look at Molly Gross, and you look at her numbers, her save percentage, .929, goals against, 2.14. You hear more about other goalies in the state, but you know what? She's pretty solid.
Yeah, I know. She was in my top five when we voted on the Wisconsin Hockey Girls End of Season Awards. She didn't end up as one of the five finalists, but she was in my top five.
And I believe she was a finalist last year. This year was a good year for the goalies when you started looking at the ones that we had nominated for the Jesse Vetter Award. But, yeah, it should be a very good game to open the girls' side of the state tournament.
You look at just the number of goals against, she gave up 39. That's a pretty good number.
Bergler, who you got?
Hate to say this, but I'm going to agree with you on just what everything you said, that this is a very good matchup for Rock Colony. What you have here is probably the two best defensive teams in the tournament playing each other. And I'm not going to hazard a guess which team is actually strong. I know they're both very strong defensively, but I think Hayward has a little more offensive punch than Rock County does. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I think it's going to be a tight, exciting game, but I think the extra offensive punch that Hayward has is going to make the difference.
One of the things I can look at here with Rock County, Maggie Henschler, leading scorer, she's got 12 goals in this season, and she was the only player in double digits. So, you know, there's not a lot of goal scoring, but you look at the rest of it, it's all spread out.
When it comes to goals, they've got to take them when they can get them. And their game is to absorb the other team's punches, not allow rebounds, and score when they get that opportunity. But, you know, they're going to play defense first. I imagine Hayward is going to pile on the shots in this game, but most of them are going to be outside, and I imagine they're not going to get a lot of rebound opportunities.
Well, I guess that leaves it to me. And I know the...
You better do the right thing.
I better do the right thing?
Yes.
You know what? I'm going to do the right thing. It's going to be a major upset that Rock County beats them. I'm gonna go Rock County this one. I'm going against the grain. This is just going to be one of those funny games. So, you know, I've got to do this to save face because the girls have been outstanding to me. But I'll go ahead and pick Rock County in this one. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I'm going to pick Rock County. You guys going to get me, going to get on my case about it?
Nope.
Nobody will ever fault you for picking the home team, MJ.
The home team?
Okay. Your home team.
That's Beloit Janesville.
That's right. If they don't win, it's a shame.
I mean, nobody's ever going to fault you for picking your home team, so, you know.
They might fault you for not.
That's why I'm just covering my butt here. I know quite a few of these girls. I'll tell you what. In this, for the Rock County Fury, you mentioned their being in the top 10 at number 9. That's big news down here. It really is. Talking to some of the people around the program and just seeing some of the stuff on Facebook, a lot of people are down here are very, very proud of that. So girls have had a good year and not necessarily saying it's over with yet. Get to play on Friday. There's a lot of other teams that aren't playing on Friday. Let's go to girls sections 2 and 4. Girls section 2, Central Wisconsin beat Point Rapids Marshfield 6-1, and Northern Pines beat the Northern Edge 5-2. That means the Central Wisconsin Storm got to take on the Northland Pines. And, Burglar, you got to check this one out, and I know you probably got your money's worth.
Thanks, MJ. Things worked out well for Northland Pines coming into this game. Northland Pines had a very good season. I think 18-4-2 was their record coming in. They'd been hanging around the fringes of the top 10 most of the season. And, you know, the Central Wisconsin Storm has owned this section for a while. I think Northland Pines went down to the state tournament many years ago. But it's been pretty much Northland or Central Wisconsin ever since. And this section, it's primarily the Great Northern Conference. I mean, this is where you have all your small independent schools, not your large co-ops. There is a co-op with, Antigo and Rhineland, which are two of the larger schools up in the Northwoods here. And you do have Point Rapids and Marshfield, which also it seems to be a very large co-op down there. But up here you got your Medfords, your Tomahawk, Lakeland, Northland Pines, the small schools. And they were all pinning their hopes on Northland Pines. getting to play Central Wisconsin on their quirky little ice rink under the dome up there in Eagle River, you know. So it's like they had everything lined up. If there was going to be an upset, this everything was lined up for it. And the boys team was already out of the playoffs. They were there doing their whole, you know, USA against, you know, the Soviet Union, you know, painting the picture of the Central Wisconsin Storm as the evil empire. And, you know, so they were all dressed up for that. And, I mean, looking around, I saw people I recognized from Lakeland, from Tomahawk. I talked to Aaron Sparks' dad from Tomahawk. I saw people from Rhinelander. So it's like everybody wanted to see Northland Pines, you know, take them down. In fact, this was the most people I have seen at a non-state girls game. If you're familiar with the Northland Pines, the dome up there, it was 75% to 80% full. It was loud in there. It was right. I mean, the place was jumping, you know, waiting for that big upset. And I'm doing all the build up for this because, it all kind of died quickly and suddenly. Central Wisconsin was just too fast, too deep, too strong fundamentally. They were having none of it. They scored two goals at the 4 and 5 minute mark of the first period. Elizabeth Bauer got the first. Caitlin Schilling skated the length of the ice and picked up the second. Four goals in the second period. They were just overpowering. Northland Pines had their big guns. Amanda Sergeant and Allison Savola. Good, solid players. You know, got the moves, strong, can do things with the puck. But when they'd get the puck and they'd get around one Storm player, and it's just a swarm. The Storm was just so fast, they would just cut them off. Take the puck away and turn around and go back the other way. A couple of times in the second period, Pines did get a couple of good chances. They forced some turnovers in the Storm zone, but the goalie, Chloe Westberg, for the Storm, made like three or four really big point-blank type saves in that period. I was kind of impressed with her. Maybe it's normal, for some of these shorter girl goalies to not automatically butterfly, when somebody goes to shoot, because you know, if they do, they're leaving like half the net open. But she stayed on her feet because, Northland Pines was shooting high and she was staying on her feet and taking pucks off the shoulder. But she did a nice job in that game, but just way too much. Central Wisconsin Storm. Emily Bauer ended up with four goals. Elizabeth Bauer assisted on all of them. Rantham was in there. Caitlin Schilling. Just way too much Storm. And 7-0 was how that game ended up.
Girls Section 4 had USM beating Fox City's 3-2 and the Bay Area Ice Bears topping Fond du Lac 3-1, which brought on USM and Bay Area for the right to go to state. Two pretty good teams, two teams that have won championships recently. Bergler, you did some traveling. You got to see this one also.
Yeah, deja vu all over again. I just saw this game 3 weeks ago, and it was called the Eastern Shores Conference Championship game. Conference championship on the line on that one. State tournament berth on the line for this one. I don't know which one means more. Conference championship or state tournament berth? Anybody?
I'm going to go with state tournament.
I think state tournament may hold just a little bit more water.
It was just like the other game. It was a back and forth game. One team scored, the other team tied it up. University School scored first. Hannah Conier got that one. Off a face-off, took a quick shot. They got on the board, and then what I thought was the most impressive goal that I saw all weekend, I think. Bay Area was on the power play. Puck was down in the U.S. end zone. They iced the puck. Morgan Zirbel took off, had a University School player thinking she could, you know, race down there and get the puck. Zirbel skated from just inside the USM blue line all the way down the other end. The corner picked up the puck, circled around behind the net, got to the far boards, and raced all the way back, untouched. And by the time she got to the top of the faceoff circle, she was behind everybody, cut to the net, and put the puck in the net. So it was like a 400-foot sprint. Picked up the puck, came down, and scored a goal in just like a blink of an eye. She can fly. She's got speed. She can just flat out fly just from, you know, from one end of the ice, down the other, get the puck, race back before anybody else knows what's happening, and scores the goal. And that tied it up. USM regained the lead later in the period on a nice backdoor power play pass from Hannah Gold to Caitlin McBride, just camped on the back door. Bay Area tied it up again, right 14 seconds left in the period. Mia Dunning, the other power defenseman for the Bay Area, put a slap shot right inside the top of the net, and that held up into the third period when Caitlin McBride redirected a slap shot from the point from Hannah Conier, tipped it right in front of the net to get pad just inside the far post, just caught the inside of the post and snuck in the corner of the net. With about 6 minutes gone in the period, and then it was just, you know, hang on. There was some power plays at the end. Gave Bay Area some extra attackers, but they could not score. Nice job in the net by Marie Dietert, keeping them at bay for the rest of that game. And with that, USM is headed back to the state tournament.
Going back to the state tournament to defend their title.
Yeah, that.
So, state tournament game number two has Central Wisconsin Storm versus University School. Guys, I'm going to let you guys take this one because I really don't know a whole lot about the teams. So, you guys go ahead and sort this one out.
Well, this will be the third time these teams have met. They met early in the season when they had the tournament up in Mosinee over the Thanksgiving break. And Central Wisconsin beat USM 4-0 in that game. USM late in the season hosted Central Wisconsin at USM, and that game ended in a 3-3 tie. So it's been getting a little bit closer, you know, each time they play. This is going to be an interesting game, and this is, you know, first of all, let's say, you know, congratulations to Coach Susans, who's the first year coach for DC Everest Central Wisconsin Storm this year.
Don't say that. Don't say the DC Everest co-op. Come on, let's not go all WIA okay. And
the Central
conventions.
Central Wisconsin Storm, and, you know, bringing them to back to the state tournament, and I think Bergler alluded to it earlier. This is like the 10th straight year that Central Wisconsin has been down to the state tournament. And on the USM side, Jacob Howery, I can't pronounce his last name correctly. I don't know this Howery, but he's the first-year head coach. He was an assistant coach the last couple years for USM. Both of them bringing the teams down there. What's going to be a very good game. And logic tells me that Central Wisconsin Storm will win this game, but I'm going to go with USM to make it to the finals to defend their state title.
Well, yeah, okay, you go ahead.
Well, I think that Coach Howery made one fatal mistake, and that's that he let the winningest coach in WIAA history see his team twice. And I think that's the difference in this game. Pete Susans has gotten two cracks at USM now. He has, as you said, the Storm have been there like 10 years in a row. He has the best first line the Storm has ever had. A full three-person unit. It's not, two good players and one above-average player. It's three very good hockey players on their first line. Solid goaltending, still a solid defensive team. And he's seen USM twice. He knows what they have, and he knows what they can bring, and I'm sure he will be prepared for it. He is the winningest coach in WIA hockey history for a reason, and he would have a whole lot more state championships if the city of Wausau had better goalies in the late 90s and early 2000s. So I'm going with Pete Susans and the Storm.
From what I've seen, the teams that have given the Central Wisconsin Storm trouble this year were teams that had big, like power forwards, because the Storm defense isn't all that big, and they can be overpowered. And I don't see USM as really filling that bill. They do have some good sized forwards. They do have some power, and Nicole Unsworth has got, you know, some pretty good size to her too, but I don't know that they're the team that's going to overpower Central Wisconsin. And what you just said about Bauer and Rantham make a heck of a law firm, but Rantham is the big one who can, you know, crash the net if need be, go dig the puck out of the corner if need be, and the Bowers are just, they're just buzzing all around the offensive zone, weaving in and out and cycling the puck. And I think they're gonna be a little too much. I have to go with Central Wisconsin on this one.
MJ?
Yes, sir.
It's your turn.
Oh. Decisions. I'm going to go with CWS.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure. Well, the reason I want to make sure is because, as we did last night, I pulled up everybody's preseason predictions.
Yeah.
Bergler and I both picked the Storm this year. Dell, sorry, but much like on the boys' side, you are eliminated on the girls' side. You picked the Metro Lynx. MJ, you picked USM.
To win the state tournament.
Yes. And Trasher picked Hayward.
Guys, I don't remember anything I did 2 minutes ago. Okay.
You don't remember what we discussed on December 7th?
Probably not.
Okay, then.
Okay, well.
That's fair.
So I got it covered either way.
That's right. Your preseason prediction, one of the two you made is going to be right. So, you covered your bases.
Oh, boy, how about that?
should we pick for Trasher? Well, boys, I think it's going to be...
You do that imitation pretty good.
Well, he's been listening to it for 14 years.
But he does it so well.
Yeah.
I think you know exactly what Trasher's going to say. Who would Trasher pick?
He would pick the Storm.
I think he would pick USM because he likes the USM people.
I think he'd actually go with the Hayward and the Storm. And... Yeah. On tonight's picks.
It's hard to bet against the Storm.
90 years of coaching experience.
Between Pete Susans, Dan Bauer, and...
Steve Brown.
Steve Brown, yeah. 90 years of coaching experience.
I think Pete would really appreciate you pointing that out.
He's the one that told me.
Pete knows he's old. He's the winningest coach in WIAA history.
You don't earn that title in your 30s.
No. Nope, that's very true.
So have you gotten a chance to talk to Mr. Susans at all this year?
We've crossed paths. No, we've crossed paths a few times, but nothing
in depth. I wonder how he feels about coaching girls high school hockey rather than the boys.
I bet we ask him it if he comes up to our booth.
When he retired from teaching.
Yes.
Is what he did. And
he was a math teacher at Wausau West.
Yes, and the way school district athletics are run, teachers get first chance at coaching positions. And B.J. Brandt was ready to be the head coach, and he's a teacher, so he became the head coach. So when another team became available that didn't have a teacher who wanted it, we get Mr. Susans. And Mr. Bauer and Mr. Brown.
The dream team of coaches.
Yeah.
Well, at least in Wausau. So you guys all excited? You all prepared?
Actually, I'm really excited about the tournament this year. I think it's, you know, boys and girls side. I think it's going to be pretty exciting. Some new faces there. Couple of old ones. The boys, as we talked about, Junior, you brought it up. I mean, each team on the boys' side has a legitimate shot. And on the girls' side, I mean, you got a new one in Rock County, and you got some veterans in USM, Hayward, Spooner, and Central Wisconsin Storm, all three teams that have won titles within the last 4 or 5 years. So they're going to slug it out on the girls' side. I would venture that. It's going to make for some good hockey on Friday for sure.
Did we mention that our Wisconsin Prep Hockey's favorite official will be working that first game on Friday?
Not
tonight. No, but you can.
Huh?
I said not tonight, we didn't.
Oh. Yeah, Nikki will be the linesman person for the... first game of the girls on Friday.
Hey,
She won't be doing plus minus for us because she'll actually be on the ice skating.
Burglar, where are we staying at this week, this year?
Where are we staying at?
Yeah, what hotel is hosting Wisconsin Prep Hockey this year?
Oh, that would be the Radisson Madison, Wisconsin's premier West Side Hotel, the official state tournament headquarters of Wisconsin Prep Hockey. That one?
Yeah, that'd be the one.
If you don't have a room yet, and you're planning on going to the state tournament, and if you're listening to us babble, I would think you're planning on going to the state tournament, check and see if there's still room at the inn, the Radisson Madison Inn.
Just don't play Ding Dong Ditch on a burglar's room.
It'll be the one with the snoring. You'll be able to hear it from the hallway.
I hope I'm on another floor then. All right, guys. Well, Dell, you have the girls' banquet on Thursday, right?
I believe that's correct, and they will be announcing their All-State and their Miss Hockey Wisconsin on that night.
Okay. Boys have it tomorrow night on Wednesday. And Saturday morning, going to be giving away the Wisconsin Prep Hockey Awards. Dell, you've got the girls' side you're going to give away, and the boys' side will be given away as well. 9 a.m. It's at the Coliseum Bar, but it's the banquet room upstairs, am I right?
Yes, it's not at the Coliseum Bar. It's at the banquet room above the Coliseum Bar, because we would never hold a high school kids' awards banquet at a bar. We have far too much class for that.
Okay.
The banquet room above the bar.
It's at 9 a.m.
Bloody Marys will be available.
bright and early, so, you know, it's possible. You know, some coaches allow it. You know, some coaches allowed it last year. Some didn't. But, you know, it's possible that, you know, players playing in the championship game will still be able to attend because it's early. But if you can't be there, we understand.
We'll be giving those away at 9 a.m. We'll get started up there. Public invited, right?
Yes, sir.
Oh, of course. Otherwise, we wouldn't get a banquet room.
Okay. And we'll go ahead and give those away and give accolades to the boys and girls who had wonderful seasons this year. And I'll hand out some individual awards for some very deserving players of those awards. So, guys, tournament's getting closer and closer. And it looks like our girls' preview is about done here.
All right, MJ.
Okay, well, I hope you enjoyed all the previews of boys and girls state tournament. If you didn't or got hate mail, where do we send the hate mail to, guys?
Trasher at WisconsinPrepHockey.net.
He looks forward to reading every single one of them. So for Burglar Jr., Dell Scanlon, we'll see you at the tournament this week. You've been listening to the girls' state tournament preview on WisconsinPrepHockey.net.